Catherine.
I'm not going to see anybody question in a minute. So I just pull it out.
No, we've seen them before.
So there's one little thing.
Yeah. We're all here. That's our roll call. In closed session, we had conference with labor negotiators for unrepresented employees, confidential management, and CSEA. So moving on. Do we have consensus on the order of business? And then approval of the minutes of May 21st, 2019.
I'll approve the minutes of May
21st. Well, I need 21st. To, let's see if there are any changes,
okay.
Revisions. Mr. Buckman?
Okay, so I'm going to be very careful because my red light's not on.
Okay.
So no mumbling because I don't know when it's on or off. So I just had a minor change. I can't believe you want to get started. Does this every time so well. Anyway, on the item where we're talking future agenda items, advanced agenda, Chris made a very good suggestion about waiting until we had some input from staff based on the resolution. And I think, Chris, that was a good comment, but somehow I got it attributed to me. So if you could give it to Chris, I think it'd be much better. Thanks.
Anything else? Mr. Millar, would you like to make that motion again, please?
I'd like to move approval of the minutes as amended of May 21st.
And I'll second that, please.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
I am abstaining because I was absent from that meeting. We have one student representative to the board here tonight. Achi, we're so glad you're here and happy. You're done.
Yeah.
It's all a formality from here.
So today was the seniors' last day of high school ever. It was really bittersweet. We ended the day with our traditional paper toss at 3:10, just showing that we're done, and all of our work's just up in the air. But it's going to be a really nice rest of the week. Tomorrow the seniors go to the ravine for our senior picnic. They haven't done this before, so they're getting a real treat from our class officers, which is really cool. And then we have senior showcase Thursday night, so if you're not doing anything, come by the pack and watch our very talented SoHi seniors. It'll be a really good show. And then, of course, graduation Friday, you guys will be there, and it's just wrapping up the year, so came by fast, which is really weird, but... Yeah, and then I'd just like to thank you guys all so much for giving me this opportunity to be here with you guys and presenting for my school and just showcasing how awesome SoHi is. So thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you. Now that you're done, you have no obligation whatsoever to be here. But we really appreciate the time that you've taken from your very busy life and hectic schedule to come share with us the events.
Of course. It was all so much fun.
Yeah, thank you. Don't worry about that. That's right. You're welcome to stay as long as you wish. We're having celebrations all around. So now it's time for our retiree recognition, and we're so glad to see so many of you here.
This is so fantastic. This is just such a great night, and I want to welcome all of our retirees here. Thank you so much for coming. So to our retirees, you are teachers, you are role models, you are mentors, and you are friends. Ever present, you have touched the lives of so many. Always encouraging, always dignified, and always a presence. Challenging us all to reach higher and to strive further. honoring the ideal to work hard and to play straight. Endless hours preparing, supporting, motivating, guiding, you, the catalyst for so many young people, actualizing their dreams. Remember you, we always will. Emulating your example, a goal worth aspiring to. And so today we say goodbye and thank you. In the years that lie ahead, recall us fondly, embrace the exciting challenges that await you, make the most of each day, a lesson you taught so well to so many. Finally, embrace the knowledge that you have left a lasting legacy. You have shaped and molded brilliant minds. You have guided compassionate souls and generous spirits, all of whom will create the cornerstones of the tomorrows still to come. And for that, we thank you. So we have a slideshow for you. But first, we would like to honor Sandra Waldron. Sandra submitted her retirement paperwork this year, but she passed away before she could enjoy that retirement. Sandra was first hired with San Luis Coastal in September in 1979 as a food service assistant. She was promoted twice in food service in September in 1993 as a food service worker one, and in September 1998 as a food service delivery driver. Sandra served San Luis Coastal for a total of over 39 years. She enjoyed working with the other lunch ladies and formed many friendships over the years, so we wanted to acknowledge her here today. Okay, for the next few minutes, we'd like to honor and celebrate this year's retirees. We're here to celebrate 35 incredible people with over 715 years of service. Wow. Who have all contributed to making our district a very special place. And so with that, we have created, they have all given us photos, and if they didn't give us a photo, we threatened to use their ID badge. So you will see a few ID badges among the group, but we have employees that we would like to I'll show you the slideshow.
Tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started in to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come, and babe, won't that be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. And wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? Best is yet to come, come the day of mine. Come the day of mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain the cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround.
I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine, and you're gonna be mine.
I'd like to ask the board members to come in front so we can announce our retirees that are here. And thank you, retirees, so much for being here with your families. We really appreciate it. So we're going to have our retirees come over here and start on this side. And you get to go through the gauntlet and shake all the hands and end up on this side. So first we have David Delkiskamp. And then Rita Delkiskamp. Yeah. And Judith Geyer. Kelly Hughes. I should probably tell you that where they're from. Kelly Hughes is from Smith, classroom teacher. And next we have Mike Lee, a PE teacher from Slo High. And Tracy Nicholson, EL aide from Mora Bay High School. Bridget Reddy, classroom teacher from Bishop's Peak. And Sylvia Rodriguez, bilingual secretary clerk at Pacheco. And last but not least, Grace Washer, a classroom teacher from Bishop's Peak. We want to thank all of our retirees for being here tonight, and we would like to spend the next few minutes enjoying cake at the back of the room. Thank you so much.
To the district. Enjoy retirement. Well, we are going to pick up where we left off. And under our next item, 6.01, correspondence, we received a letter from Melissa Denoy regarding the Baywood Elementary Dual Immersion Program, from Alexis Oslin regarding school start time, a letter from a Baywood student regarding school start time, and an email from Julia Thompson regarding the bilingual program. At this time, we open it up for public comment for anyone for an item that is not on the agenda, or if it is an agendized topic but you would like to address it now, feel free to fill out a yellow form over on the table over there. Bring it to Mrs. Campbell, the end of the table, and we will we'll listen to you. You have 3 minutes, and do I see anyone wanting to make public comment at this time? Okay. Okay. You have sheets. I'm sorry. I didn't even look. Mrs. Roger. No F.
I have two requests to speak. The first is Fatima Celeste.
Okay,
then we'll go with Jenna Jude.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hate to bring this up on the night of the retirement reception, but I'm here to speak on behalf of SLC CTA members who will be negatively impacted by the proposed contract change regarding step advancement on the pay schedule. There were recent positive changes in the contract language regarding step advancement for employees who are part-time. However, in the process of cleaning up the contract language, there were some errors that I believe to be unintentional. The new contract requires a 1.0 full-time employee to serve 75% or 140 days of the 186 school days to receive a one-year service credit and to advance on the pay schedule. This new language change means that any full-time employee taking more than 8 weeks off due to any medical reason, be it cancer treatment or surgery, will not step advance. And this new change would only allow a pregnant woman to take 1 week of bonding leave beyond disability following delivery. This new contract language is clearly a mistake, as it encourages sick employees to return to work when they're not ready. I feel like it's bad for all SLC USC employees, especially new mothers who are the parents of our youngest future students. And I have an email from another teacher who's not able to be here tonight. I'm just going to read that. This is from Kelly McCall. She is a science teacher over at Morrow Bay High School. I'm a full-time employee in the district, and I'm pregnant with my first child due this July. Next year, I will continue to be a full-time employee and use up most, if not all, of my 81 accrued sick leave days in order to stay home with my newborn child during the first semester of the school year. According to the new language of the contract, I am not able to advance in salary the following year because I will not be serving at least 75% of the year. She goes on to say, even if I'm not at work, I am still serving my time by using all the time I have saved up over the last 9 years preparing for this life change. Not only do new mothers have to use their sick leave during maternity leave, but now in addition, they don't get to advance in salary either. How can you take away a salary increase of a 100% full-time employee who is paying for her time off with built-up sick days in order to take care of her newborn child? So I've just been told there's been an MOU and that current employees will be under the old contract language, but moving forward after next year, this would continue to be in the contract. So,
thank you for your comment.
And I'm at 3 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, then we'll be back to Fatima Saleh.
Mine's long, so we'll see if I get through it. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Fatima Saleh, and I teach world history at Morrow Bay High School, and I'm currently on maternity leave. Here at SLCUSD, we're in the business of supporting families and children, and hopefully unintentionally, the new contract language targets me financially should I choose to take my full family bonding leave. My daughter Sophie is only 7 weeks old, and I'm already having to decide whether or not to take time off to be with her because of the new contract language. At 33 weeks pregnant, my doctor wanted to take me out from work due to complications that caused extreme pain. I decided not to go on full disability leave right away and continued working half-time so that I could prepare for my students for the 3 months that I would be out. I would stay at work in the staff lounge or go home to work to finish my course grades, prepare sub plans, and materials for the next 3 months. I was working beyond full time at reduced pay in order to ensure my world history students received meaningful instruction from my sub while I was out. The new contract language means that workers in 75% paid status will no longer be stepping, only those who serve 75%. This language overlooks teachers like me who work in ways that the district language doesn't consider working. Status, excuse me. Even now, I'm working during my maternity leave so that SLCUSD can offer a new ethnic studies course at MBHS. I'm prepping a new course while my daughter sleeps, not because it's what's best for me and my family, but because of what it will mean for students of color in our district, and because it's the best interest for our schools. Next year, I plan to take Fridays off with CFRA, but if I choose to utilize more of my leave, I will not be allowed to step. And had this language been introduced already, because of the timing of my birth, I would have 2 years without stepping on the salary schedule. This year for my disability leave, and then next year for my bonding leave with my daughter. So I really caution the district and the union to think about the language that's included when they negotiate new contracts, and hopefully in a way that will support families and the best interests of students as well. The new language means that it targets parents, new parents, at a time when they need their salary the most. And so I'm kind of running short on time, I think. So I'm just here tonight rather than at home with my baby so I can speak for the new mothers and fathers and for people who are out on leave. Not necessarily for this year because of what I just spoke with Kristen about, and it's fantastic. I really appreciate it that it's not going to apply to me next year. But if I did choose to have a second child in the future, it would mean that it would affect not only my salary now, but also my retirement and my ability to retire. So I really hope that you guys will look at it and think carefully about the language in our contract and how it impacts vulnerable workers and families and students. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Now we will move on to the superintendent's updates, and first is business and budget. Mr. Pinkerton.
Yes, two things, right? Mike. Preparing for graduation, so the grounds crew, custodial crews, all trying to get the campuses looking good, you know, for our ceremonies here at, we'll have Pacific Beach High School, of course, here at the district office, and then Slo High and Morro Bay High. So you'll see a lot of weed eating, a lot of cleaning up things. Now they got a lot of paper to pick up at Slo High, right, from all the kids, their fun activities. But no, it's fine. It's okay. But just a lot going on. So the behind the scenes part is so important, right? Because we want our schools to look good, our facilities to look good for parents and students as they finish the year. The grand jury came out with a report on June 4th, and so based on developer fees. So they've been studying developer fees, impacts, how people have been using developer fees, all those types of things. So I haven't had a chance to really discuss it with the board a lot because as part of the grand jury investigation, you're not supposed to talk about it publicly. So not even with you. So what I'll tell you, three things kind of came out of the report in terms of findings. And I'll be working with Mike Smith, our attorney, on the written responses, those types of things. But I was a little disappointed in the grand jury's report in that they lumped a lot of things together in terms of made some assumptions about how districts are using the funds, made some assumptions about where the funds are put. And instead of calling out specific districts for issues they might have, they kind of lumped everyone together. So the list of projects, for example, or the fact about whether developer fees are put in a separate fund, or the fact that they can't find our developer fee report, those types of things. Well, the fact is our developer fee report is approved by you annually, 1 year and 5 year plan. They can find it right now by searching our district website and going on board docs. All of our projects are all tied to growth. You know, we've only really been doing projects in San Luis Obispo because of all the housing development that's happening. So preparing for growth, adding classrooms, not doing anything on the coast because there really is no growth, right? So ensuring that the funds are tied to growth projects is key. And we've done that. as a school district. So the fact that kind of lumps us into making people potentially think that we're not doing what we're supposed to do was upsetting in terms of reading it. We did have one issue as a school district, and that was in our board policy, there's a sentence about you have 90 days to protest these fees if you choose. So as soon as we found that out, as soon as I looked and saw that it wasn't on a receipt to developer, you know, people paying their fees, we put it on. And in fact, we went above, we went and found a list of all the exemptions. So actually telling people what they could protest for in the future, right? So including that. And so the grand jury knew that because I shared it with them. Yet in the report, they make it sound like we haven't done it potentially, right? So it's just a little, you know, a little bit of that. So again, I'll respond, I'll put it out, but I want the board to know that we've changed that, we fixed it. If anybody has any issues and they think they should have been exempt from developer fees, call me. Let me know and we will take care of the situation. But just because that sentence wasn't there doesn't mean that we made people pay for developer fees when they shouldn't have. So I just want you to be aware of those things, right? I feel like we don't have any issues in this, you know, area type of thing. But we will respond. You will begin to hear about it, right? Because it's now, we had New Times calls today. And we'll respond and let them know our information. We have a separate fund for all of our developer fees, which tracks all of the revenues, all of the expenditures. In fact, you're going to be approving it tonight. And you can see all of the funds, cafeteria fund, developer fee fund, bond funds. They're all kept in separate accounts and closely accounted for to ensure that we are fiscally responsible as a school district. So I just want to assure you that we have done everything we should do in the area of developer fees.
Ellen?
Mr. Buckley.
Yeah, I have a question. It's not exactly on the grand jury's report.
Uh-huh.
When the voters approved the marijuana resolution, schools were supposed to get a part of that funding. It's been approved for several years. It's okay? Approved for several years. I don't see anything in our budget. I haven't heard anything. Have we gotten anything from the state?
We received no funds for that.
It's all up in smoke.
Out or where it goes, yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I'm yeah. Just, let me know.
No funds.
Thank you. All right.
Great. I think you've been starting to hear about some of the things. We're having a fantastic end of the school year, so it is a great time to have many celebrations that are going well, award ceremony, field trips, and opportunities for people to celebrate a lot of fantastic kids and employees. We did have the opportunity to also celebrate new teachers. I know many of you were there and had a great tech colloquium that honored some great people that we you know, have starting in the organization and continuing and have cleared their credentials. So it's great to see. We also, interestingly enough, have SBAC scores starting to come in. So remember when they said that this would be a faster turnaround, we're starting to see it now. So they are starting to come in, and there's also been a change to how those scores are accessed by families. And it is now an online portal that they actually go the parent portal through our school. So just as our middle school and high school students are very used to and their parents are used to going on there to check grades and information, they now go on there to also check SBAC scores. And so as the scores begin to populate, that means different people will see scores coming in at different times. And will be a slight change for our elementary parents as they don't often access grades through PowerSchool. So that is kind of a state change, and we'll give you more information about that and what that looks like. But interesting that we are starting to see a quicker turnaround and starting to see some of those scores trickle in. Right now we have about 50-60% of the scores in. So, yeah, we will keep you updated on that.
And are parents advised through the weekly newsletters and how to, especially those elementary parents who perhaps are not as familiar with PowerSchool, with how to get in, how to do that, how to get the information? And if parents, do our teachers or site administrators have a sense of a family that may not be particularly tech savvy or need some help in that regard, have a way to bring those families in or have a conversation with them, or let them look on the computer at the school or help them out? What are we doing there?
All of the above. So there is information going out to inform families of how to access that or to set it up if needed. We're also allowing families to access anything at school site or printing even related.
Sure.
Follows them through all the way through high school?
Correct.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Very good. Thank you. Do we have a Measure D update?
I'm having a hard time with the mic tonight. It's pretty crazy down Slow High, is what I would tell you. So we have, you know, we're clearing out the southern end of the 100 building right now, including the theater area. Those teachers are moving to other classrooms, so a lot of boxes, a lot of, you know, teachers putting in time, extra time to get this accomplished. And that campus is, there's a lot going on. So they've already jumped into the new gym this week and doing all the demo, abatement, those types of things, taking all the solar panels off the top of the gym, those types of things. So really, you know, hitting that is the day after school's out, they're going to hit the 500 or the 300 building. So this is the wood shop and the room that was hurt by the fire. Mm-hmm. So that's going to start day one of summer. And there's just a lot happening at San Luis Obispo High School, a lot going on. And so we've kind of drifted. It was kind of slow at first, the first couple of years, getting stuff done, planning. And now next year at San Luis High anyways is going to be full impact construction. And so we're excited to see that they're finally really moving on the Student Support Center building, right? The new office, as well as performing arts space, because that is a critical component of us transitioning the middle of the 100 building down. Everybody's working together. Sally's been great in terms of helping us with classrooms up here for San Luis Obispo High School to assist. We're going to do some work at Taylor Gym to make that a facility that Sally can use, as well as the kids can use. So just everyone's going to have to pitch in and work together. So I'll be updating the board the next study session. And my goal at the next study session is really to go through the budget, the project budget at this time. We spent a lot of time in terms of BGT staff and myself to kind of get that narrowed down, where we're at, so that I can give you a better idea of each of the projects and where we fall in terms of total. And then Morro Bay High, of course, we are working on the new band room and ag mechanics room. So the D building. They're really going on the Student Support Center at that campus, right? They've actually, they're going to be finishing up the whole front parking area and the bus turnaround, so hopefully all those fences will go to start the year. So excited about that part of it and seeing some semblance of a campus coming together, but and then that will, as the office moves over, classrooms will be jumping into that classroom building. So it's kind of, you know, it's going to be kind of dominoes as we go. Teachers will move into the next building. And so it's exciting. It's really exciting. We haven't had a chance to see the new multipurpose room at Bishop's Peak. I'm envisioning maybe the July meeting, we go on a tour and see everything that's happening. I think that would be a good thing for the board to see all the projects happening. But it's pretty awe-inspiring, the new multipurpose room. And we're going to be using the food truck on that campus so that they can start the office remodel at the beginning of the year. So just a lot happening there.
Well, as someone who spent about 8 years in that theater, I bet it was like an archaeological dig back there. So the 100 building at San Luis High.
Big purge.
Yeah, big purge. Okay, thank you for that. And next we have a public hearing on the tentative agreement with SLCTA.
This is a public hearing for the public to weigh in, and so you're open the public hearing for our public to weigh in on, and then close the public hearing.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public wishing to address this topic? Seeing no one, we will close the public hearing.
Okay, and I'll be back later on the agenda.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, next we have a couple of resolutions. Hi, Julie.
these are things that we see every year, so I will be brief. This first one is the authorization for year-end transfers. This resolution is required annually to allow us to do the necessary year-end transfers so that the district can pay its obligations and so we can balance the books for our unaudited actuals. And the attached resolution gives staff the authority to identify and request county superintendent of schools to make necessary transfers required to close the books at year-end.
Is there anyone from the public wishing to address this? Anyone on the board?
Just by me?
Yes.
Sorry. So we're going to notify the county superintendent of schools to make these transfers?
We do the transfers here, but it's on our financial system, which the county office oversees.
Okay. And I raise that just because I think sometimes it's a little confusing for the public.
It is. We don't send them all our transfers and make them do them for us.
No, but they have a big role.
They do the oversight, so,
thank
right?
You. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? This is Roger. Here you go.
Well, if there's no further discussion, I'll move resolution 21-18-19, authorization for year-end transfers.
All right. We have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Mr. Millar. This is a roll call vote.
Mrs. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Ms. Frame?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Resolution passes 7-0.
All right. Next.
On to the next one. Okay. This is another annual resolution that we asked the board to pass, and this is regarding temporary borrowings between funds. This resolution allows us to loan money from one fund to another. Our funds are kept in the county treasury. They're kept almost like separate checking accounts or something. So if that fund goes negative, if we have a cash flow problem, then we need to loan money to that fund from another fund. We usually try to reverse those funds at year end. If there's still a negative balance in a fund, then we'll give it a contribution, but we like to try to reverse the cash loans by year end.
Okay. Anyone from the public wishing to address us? All right. Any questions from the board? Mr. Unger?
I think it's really important for the public to understand that because of the way we receive our revenues, that sometimes those inter-fund borrowings are really important for us to manage our cash flow, and that it is required, I believe, that we pay the funds back between one fund and another. Is that not correct?
That is correct, yes.
Any further discussion? Then motion on the resolution, please.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Unger, a second by Mr. Buckman. Mrs. Campbell.
Mr. Buckman? Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Ms. Frame?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Aye.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers? Resolution passes 7-0.
All right. Next, we are going to talk about the LCAP. Did
you see the request?
So we're going to talk.
Thank you. Tonight I bring for you the second reading of our local control accountability plan. We went through this extensively in the last few meetings with an overview, and then at the last reading with a full LCAP. So just to reemphasize a few things, that this is our third year of a three-year plan. There are five focus areas. We've gathered stakeholder input from a variety of areas. Some of our input has really influenced, and we had some great input that really did influence some of the adjustments and changes we've made. We heard input about maintaining a focus on career technical education, a need to look at some phonics and conventions curriculum especially for our elementary and primary grades. We heard about a need for continued focus on interventions and for English language development, as well as communication and a needed focus to continue on equity.
We also heard about a little bit of a shift of technology, about being intentional about our use of really looking at quality and not just quantity. So based on the valuable input that we received and the changes that we've made to the LCAP, I would look for your approval tonight.
Thank you. And I would note that this item was previously introduced on May 7th, 2019, and the official first reading with public comment served the function of the required public hearing took place on May 21st. So at that time, there were no questions posed from the public, so this is being brought forth at this time for the second reading, discussion, and approval. So I would ask if there's anyone from the public wishing to address this. And if not, any further discussion from the board? Mr. Unger.
Well, I just want to say I'm really happy that we're spending money above and beyond what I think we're statutorily required to spend on our at-risk populations and our targeted populations. I really want to say that I'm particularly happy about the $100,000 that we're proposing to spend on new band instruments and the goal that we have for increasing our underrepresented students in our arts and music programs. So I just want to give kudos to the staff for putting that forth in the LCAP.
Anything else? This is an action item, so if we'd like to adopt it tonight, anyone wishing to make a motion?
I move approval of the LCAP for... Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. I'd like to move approval of the LCAP plan presented.
I'll second that.
Right. We have a motion by Mr. Buckman, a second by Mr. Unger. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Right. Our next piece of business is 10.02, adoption of the 2019-2020 budget. Mr. Pinkerton.
Yeah. How are we going to afford that LCAP, right? So budget-wise, just so the board knows, again, this is the third meeting where we've addressed the budget, brought it up last meeting in terms of the public hearing section. So not a lot has changed in terms of the May revise. We'll know a lot more in the coming weeks, right, as the state legislature actually has a deadline. They don't get paid if they don't pass the state budget. Best thing they ever did was to do that and make sure that they move forward. So I'm hoping that the STIRS and potentially even the PERS reduction goes through. In lieu of one-time money, actually that's a I think is a positive thing for us moving forward, because hopefully that's something that they'll continue to work towards, right, and helping us with those huge retiree cost increases that the district has faced. There's some talk about special education. The state assembly and Senate actually moved some different legislation than what the governor had initially set, which was going to really just put the money in two large districts' hands. And so really am excited about the potential of them funding all districts at 90% level and moving in that direction. So that would be a positive thing. So, again, we've seen special education costs escalate dramatically over the past few years. And other than that, the stock market's been a little weary for me, right, as we've gone through. We had a couple bad days, but seems like it's up again. So I'm always recession watch now and as we move forward. But all expectations are that at least for next year that we should be in a good financial standpoint, right? There's a lot of development again in San Luis Obispo City. So I'm really interested to see the property tax revenue that comes from the sale of those homes. Hopefully they're selling, and they're not just building them and trying to sell them for large amounts of money. So we'll see how that goes into the future. But it's been a positive thing. So Diablo Canyon, it looks like all things considered, is still up and running, and we expect that to continue, which is great. And then we'll continue to reach out to the county about the mitigation settlement funds to ensure that those are going to come, because that really is a critical component of us staying financially stable over the next few years. It really is a key thing for us. And again, thanks to Jordan Cunningham and Senator Monning for helping us get that accomplished. So tonight we have the budget that was presented last time, along with the 10-year presentation. I can answer any questions you might have.
First, I'd like to go to the public. Anyone from the public here about the budget? All right. You need to come up. and we'll start the timer for you.
Michael Berger. I'm a parent at Slo High School. I just was wondering, the money from Diablo, are you saying that we still haven't gotten any of that yet, or...
So we still receive the unitary tax from Diablo Canyon, which is a portion of our property tax. And so what's happening is the plant depreciates. That amount of unitary tax has been dropping. There was a mitigation settlement that was approved by the legislature and signed by the governor last year. And the expectation is that our first payment is going to happen this coming fiscal year.
And will this be the first year?
This will be the first. Yeah, it's the first year. So we're actually going to get a double payment, it looks like, initially to start, which would be a positive thing. So we're very optimistic in terms of that. I've heard September, hopefully. So we'll work with the county to make sure that those funds are coming to us.
Anyone else? Dr. Eisendrath Rogers, Mr. Buckman, Mrs. Roger.
Just a question about your comment about the stock market. Did you say that because we're heavily invested in the stock market?
No,
or did you say that because of the value
just
of the... of our dollar.
Just
our,
the economy in general, right? The economy in general, in terms of recession, when there's a recession, less money in the state government, right? So in terms of state budget, we do receive some state funds. So those are things that could be, you know, taken away from us, right, as a school district. And, overall, if the economy suffers, home prices potentially drop, which then, of course, is our property tax revenue, right? So those are the things that we're always concerned about. As we've gone through as a school district, 09, 10, 10, 11, where we faced cuts because property tax values were level, that we were 0%. We actually dropped 1 year versus the 3, 4, 5% we've seen over the last few years, which has been great.
And the value of our dollars that we're investing in our construction sites, too, that would be impacted.
Yeah,
we'll
see, right? There are some tariff issues, those types of things. Potentially, I don't think that necessarily they've hit yet in terms of costs. Our biggest issue with Measure D and some of our construction is just the amount of contractors and the lack of supply in terms of getting that competition to keep prices lower is something that we try to focus on and do what we can. But we'll see what happens as that goes.
So to be clear, Mr. Pinkerton is not playing the stock market.
No, we are not investing school district funds in the stock market.
Yeah.
Although, interest is up.
That's right.
In our super, super safe government holdings, right, with the county. So that, which is a positive. It's both for our bond funds as well as for our district funds that are in our reserves. So that really helps our bottom line as well.
Thank you. Mr. Buckman?
Thanks. So before I ask my questions, just come up. My understanding is STRS and PERS, however, and that's where I thought you were going with the stock market.
No.
Those are heavily affected by the stock market.
Could be, yes.
Okay, because they're heavily invested. Okay, so my question is, does law, I don't think this has ever happened here,
uh-huh.
but does law allow the budget to be actually changed from when you first presented it till tonight?
So we're asking the board to approve the budget tonight. But we don't know the state budget yet.
No. Okay.
So that'll come out in the next month where they'll approve a state budget. There could be modifications to our budget. And then based on what those modifications are, we do what's called a 45-day revise. So that's something where we would make the revisions that are necessary based on what the state has actually come out of the state budget. We would put those into place and then share that publicly with the board. And then, of course, over the course of the year, things change. So that's why we bring first interim, second interim, those types of things to the board as well.
Right. Got that. But between the first presentation, right, let's just round up $100 million and where the money comes from and all that, then we go to the public hearings. And tonight, none of that changes? You can't change it between our first hearing and now?
No, nothing has changed in terms of the presentation, the budget that the board has seen in the last three meetings has not changed at all.
So the original question was, can it legally be changed if it could be... If there was
we can change it. The board can do whatever. Yeah, you can change it.
So from presentation to presentation tonight.
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. Mr. Pinkerton, I recently needed to be schooled on the Education Protection Act monies because I forgot exactly why we received them, what the genesis of those monies were. I don't know if my fellow board members, if anyone else has forgotten. Could you give us just a very short course on
why we receive those monies and how we apply them?
So schools were undergoing major cuts, deficits, again, after the last recession, 2008. So there's a ballot measure, I believe it was Prop 30, which was EPA funds, which was passed by the voters, which basically taxed the rich to pull money together to give to schools. And there were certain caveats where the money had to be used and how it had to be used. And so as a school district, we received those EPA funds. And we put them towards, and because it was a specific amount that kind of matched actually the staffing, teacher certificate staffing at Loam's, that's kind of where the funds went. So that's an ongoing fund that we keep or that we receive. Again, those are some of the state funds we receive outside of our basic aid property tax structure.
So what are the restrictions that the state places on those funds?
Julie's coming up. Help me out with that one.
Okay.
Actually, it's the next item on the agenda.
Good. Well, what a great segue.
There we go. Should we segue into that? Or
Should we finish the budget?
Well, I'll take my explanation then with the next item. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Thank you, Mr. Brinkton.
Sure.
I guess if there's no, are there any further board questions? If not, then I'll move approval. Let me get back to the item number of 10.02, adoption of the 2019-2020 budget.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Mr. Unger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And actually, dual enrollment's next. And then, Prop 30.
All right, so our next item is the first reading of the dual enrollment courses.
Thank you. So tonight I'm happy to bring forward just the first reading. So this will come back the next time for a second reading. If you don't mind starting back at the beginning, Ms. Campbell, that'd be great.
Straight to the conclusion.
Thank you. I don't have a clicker. Do you mind clicking for me? Okay. So dual enrollment. So tonight is opportunity to kind of explain purpose, what dual enrollment is, and then to look at the agreements that have been formed for San Luis Obispo High School, Morro Bay High School, and Pack Beach as well. So let me take you through this. So just a reminder, kind of what is dual enrollment? I think it's a great opportunity for our students and for our teachers as well. So dual enrollment is the opportunity for our high school students to complete a course sitting on our high school campuses. However, the teacher at the high school, along with the teacher at Cuesta, have come to a mutual agreement about the curriculum that is being taught on the high school campus. And there is an agreement that that curriculum and what's being taught has a close enough match to the curriculum at Cuesta College in order to offer that course for our high school students while they sit on our high school campus. And so, therefore, the student is able to get high school credit at the same time they are receiving Cuesta College credit. Another thing to keep in mind is that the high school teacher must meet the qualifications from Cuesta College. So that's one thing to keep in mind, and one of the reasons why you'll see some of the differences, because it depends on our teacher's credential. Okay? So that is dual enrollment. So why consider dual enrollment? It has a lot of positive aspects. So you look at, for students, it really exposes them to the rigor of a college-level class, to kind of take away some of the scariness that may go with a college-level class, and to say that for a student, a high school student could then leave with a Cuesta transcript that has Cuesta courses and Cuesta grades on it when they're finishing with high school. So a great opportunity for our students. You think about kind of a challenging learning opportunity, a way for a student to walk away from high school with already some college courses under their belt that are transferable courses. So really neat opportunity. There's also that benefit with our teachers, that they are creating a collaborative conversation with someone that teaches the same thing or something really close to what they're teaching. So it's a professional development opportunity for them to create alignment with those courses at Cuesta College, as well as there is a little bit financial benefit because Cuesta is able to receive the ADA funding, right? So there's a little bit of a help to their program as well. So again, what does this mean for students? I explained that a little bit. They do kind of go through the Cuesta process, so it helps kind of open their eyes to this is what it takes to register for a course. They don't have to pay a fee for that course, and they stay right here in the convenience of our high schools on our own campus. And like I said, they're able to receive dual credit while taking one course. They do follow the guidelines of a community college, so they have to drop it if they need to, if their grade isn't what they are wanting it to be, because it is a transcript that stays with them. So it's an opportunity to kind of open that door and open that window a little bit for our students to feel what a college course is like. So Pacific Beach, we have one course there, the Fit Focus, Stay Focus course, which is an excellent kind of planning, college and career planning course that is an opportunity for them to be exposed to that course. So then we also have at Morro Bay, you can see some career technical education courses where we've created that agreement. It's an annual agreement, so both steps have taken place. The teacher's credential matches Cuesta's qualification, and our teacher and the Cuesta teacher have come to a mutual agreement. And at Slo High, remembering that kind of twice the size, so we do have a lot more opportunities there to have dual enrolled courses there as well. So in conclusion, I would say that this is a great opportunity for our students. We've started this, and you can see that we're adding more and more courses and continuing those conversations as we go along. It is a collaboration opportunity for our students, for our teachers, and a great opportunity for our students as well. And this is the first reading tonight, so happy to answer any questions and bring it back for second reading next time.
Okay, first I'll go to the public. Anyone wishing to come forward?
Michael Berger, Slo High parent. Just in Slo High School, it said photography. Is that digital photography? Yeah. Okay, another Morro Bay.
Anyone else? Thank you. The board, Mr. Unger.
So, Kim, I have a couple.
I don't see a light mark. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh. No. So, I have a question, Kim. A couple of questions. I'm noticing that most of the classes are what I would call CTE classes, which is great because that was one of our LCAP goals. But I'm wondering, what about our math, English, social science courses? Is there a chance that those courses can be dual enrollment courses as well? And can you talk a little bit about that? And then I'm also curious, what do we do to recruit teachers to do the dual enrollment? I'm thinking specifically, I'm a coast person, Morro Bay High School, but Pacific Beach as well, because we know that almost every student who stands up and graduates on Thursday will be attending Cuesta if they're going to continue with school.
Mm-hmm. Great point. So to the first question, you're right. It's primarily happened within career technical education. We absolutely can have the conversations and are having the conversations in the core content areas. A couple of things come into play. One is the teacher's credential. So they have to meet Cuesta's qualifications, which usually means a master's and usually also means sometimes ours have an educational-related master's, and often Cuesta doesn't accept that. They kind of make their own rules, and we have to, kind of meet their qualifications in order for the course to work. So that is one factor. Depends on the teacher's credential. The second thing is, it does get a little complicated when there's multiple teachers that teach the same topic. So let me give you an example that's easy and a little more complicated. So if there's at Morro Bay one physics teacher, and that physics teacher has that master's degree, and they've had the conversation with the Cuesta teacher, and they come to this mutual agreement, they both agree, then it's the one teacher, and that's probably a fairly easy solution. if there are, let's say, biology, where there's multiple teachers, so let's say it's Slo High, there's probably six biology teachers, and two of them maybe have the master's in biology and four don't, it begins to get a little more complicated. How do you select which students are going to be in these two courses that are going to receive dual enrollment credit, and which are you putting here, and you're saying you don't receive dual enrollment credit, although it feels like you're taking the same course, it's just that the teacher's credential is different. So it does get a little more complicated when there's multiple teachers teaching the same subject area. Little simpler when it's one teacher within, you know, kind of a singleton situation. So we've started those conversations and are looking for opportunities where it makes sense, and obviously trying to always keep in mind what's best for kids and thinking about who we could place in there and what would make sense. And then the second one, can you remind me?
Sure, and I'm curious. And I actually have a follow-up question to that. These are Cuesta rules, and they're because I know that, for example, West Hills Community College and Avenal High School have an agreement where a student entering West Hill Avenal High School can graduate from Avenal High School with a high school diploma and a community college Associate of Arts degree from West Hills College in Coalinga. So it must. I'm assuming from what you're saying, they have different rules at West Hills College than they do at Cuesta for these things.
You're right.
And then the second question was regarding recruitment of teachers and getting teachers more interested in this so that we can expand the program.
Yeah, so since it does depend on their degree, it would be a matter of encouraging a teacher to achieve a master's degree in the same area that Cuesta recognizes. So an example, one time we had a teacher that had a chemistry degree, and his master's was education of chemistry or chemistry education or something like that, and Cuesta didn't take that. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things, if they go back to get their master's and in the area that Cuesta acknowledges.
Mr. Bachman? Okay. I have a couple of questions. Do you know currently how many students at each campus are taking the dual enrollment courses that are offered?
I do, but I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
But I'd be happy to get that for you.
And then secondly, is it possible, and this may be too convoluted, but if a Pacific Beach student wanted to take a photography class, would it be possible for that Pacific Beach student to attend Morro Bay High School for that one class and then attain the rest of his or her education at Pacific Beach?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I know we've tossed around the idea a lot. The trick is being you can't be enrolled in two. And so that's one
so
of the...
So you're enrolled in a site, not just like one class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there is, you know, we've looked for what career opportunities could we offer to Pacific Beach and what makes sense there to be engaging and innovative. And they do have a lot of great connections with Cuesta. So I know that they do bring Cuesta on campus and they create those, you know, collaborative offerings for kids.
So that student could go to Cuesta and take a course and still be at PB.
Mm-hmm, correct.
So that may be another way in. It just
correct.
Seems that they're doing some really interesting things at PB around the community garden and various projects that they have going on, and those students might, you know, could well benefit from some of these courses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anything else? All right. So this is... this is just an information item tonight.
First reading. I will need to bring it back next time for a second reading.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And now, the Education Protection Act funds.
Okay, I think we covered everything, just about, except your question. So this was part of Prop 30 in, I think, 12-13. And if we were an LCFF district, this money, we would not get additional money. This money would offset the LCFF amount. But because we're basic aid, we get this money on top of our property tax money. the money, has to be for instructional purposes. It cannot be used for administrative purposes. That's really the only restriction it has.
So we use it for the salary and benefits for teachers at Loam. It's not that they get any additional teachers. It's just that we're offsetting our general fund with this money for those teachers. Any other questions regarding this? We have the budget up here. This year we're getting about $1.472 million. We have received to date about $1.1 million. We're still expecting to get about $370,000. It's given to us quarterly. So you can see that it pays for about 12.7 FTE Loam's teachers and substitutes. Right now we have a balance, an unencumbered balance of about $32,000. That money will carry over until next year, and that'll be used to offset the raises and the increases in benefits that we're going to see next year.
Thank you. Anyone from the public have questions, wish to discuss this? All right, this is an action item to approve the Education Protection Act funds. Anyone wishing to
I move approval of item number 10.04, Education Protection Act funds.
And I'll second.
We have a motion by Mr. Unger, a second by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you. 10.05 is approval of the tentative agreement with management employees.
So these next three items are all tentative agreements with our employees. So the first one was with our management employees. The second one is with our confidential employees. And the last one is the public hearing that you had earlier tonight for the approval of the tentative agreement with SLCTA. So this is the first one, and this is here for your approval.
Right. Anyone from the public wishing to discuss this? Right, we'll come back to the board. Mr. Millar.
So why are they called tentative agreements?
I think we didn't know what else to call them, to be honest.
No, you were supposed to say because they've approved it, but now we have to approve them. Because people look up their tentative.
It's not a union. The Management Education Council, MEC, is a group of management employees, and they meet and confer with the superintendent on matters related to wages, hours, and working conditions. So, but this isn't an agreement in the sense of a union contract. This is just a mutual agreement between you, the board, and the management employees, and this is what they're interested in.
Excellent. Oh, yep. Thank you. Well, so if we were to ratify this tonight, then it would no longer be a tentative agreement.
Correct.
It would be an agreement.
Correct.
It would be
not
the
be
real
tentative.
Deal.
It would be our.
So, come on, you know, make the motion and not tentatively.
I feel like I'm practicing dentistry here. I'm sorry. I would move the approval of the tentative agreement with management employees and thank them for their service.
We have a motion by Mr. Millar and a second by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers. All in favor? Okay. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
So the next item is our confidential employees, and this is tentative at the moment, but as soon as you approve it, it will no longer be tentative, right? This is for your approval.
Right. Anyone from the public who would address this? Yes.
Confidential employees are listed in the government code, and they're employees that deal with labor negotiations. So that would be employees that are drafting proposals and costing out salary increases and have access to everything that's being discussed during negotiations, and therefore they're not in a negotiated group. They're removed from any kind of a union. And there are seven of them. They exist in the personnel in the human resources office, four of them, and three of them in the superintendent's office.
Any discussion from the board? Then we need this is an action item to approve. Mrs. Roger.
I move approval of the tentative agreement with confidential employees.
I have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, a second by Ms. Frame. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And lastly,
the next item is the approval of the tentative agreement with SLCTA, our teachers union, and you saw this earlier tonight. This has been voted on by the teachers, so we created a tentative agreement. It was then taken to the membership of the teachers, so they voted 94% in favor of the tentative agreement, and now it is to the board for your approval.
Any discussion, anyone from the public wishing to address this? We're back to the board. Mr. Millar.
Would this be an appropriate time that perhaps Dr. Prater could address the earlier speaker's concerns, since it is within the ambit of the tentative agreement?
Sure. Dr. Prater.
Thank you, Ms. Millar. I'd be happy to. The tentative agreement before you was worked, I have to commend the SLCTA team as well as our management team for negotiating. It was an excellent example of two groups working towards I think common interests and you know, trying to support the overall working conditions, salary and benefits of the employees, and I think we achieved that quite well in this agreement. That said, there was a portion of this agreement that was unintendedly removed in the course of our negotiations, and it's very complicated. There were a lot of details involved having to do with what you had heard tonight from the guest speakers regarding movement on the salary schedule when you have unexpected needs that require you to be out for an extended period of time. And so that was brought to my attention earlier today, and Mrs. Capilano, who's the president of SLCTA, and members of her team, met with members of my team, and we were able to really have a good conversation around what happened. We both agreed it was unintentional. We both agreed that, in principle, there is validity to this concern. That said, 94% of the organization, the SLCTA group, voted in favor of this particular tentative agreement. That particular process needs to be honored, and that's why we're putting it before you tonight. That said, we agreed, out of fairness to those employees that this would have unintentionally impacted, that we would jointly put together an MOU, or Memorandum of Understanding, to allow those teachers impacted this year from this consequence to not be affected. So they can, in fact, move forward into next year and not be impacted by this agreement, if I think there were 11 employees that this would impact. That buys us enough time to wrap our minds around it and try to work together to figure out the next best steps while still honoring this very important process of collective bargaining. So you'll hear back from us at the June 18th meeting with an MOU that's been crafted and reviewed by both sides, and hopefully in the upcoming months we'll have put together, I think, a deeper analysis of what happened and put together, I think, a reasonable solution for the board's consideration.
Thank you. Mrs. Roger.
Would that then be considered a reopener on this contract?
I don't believe so. I think what it will likely look like, depending on what we arrive at, would be a modification to the existing contract that the board would then ratify. And I think there's probably been past precedents of this. I just don't want to see this as a common practice. I think it will water down the integrity of the collective bargaining process, lot of time and energy went into this process, tremendous hours on both sides, and mistakes happen. But I do believe that that we need to take our time over the next several months, knowing that no one's going to be unnecessarily injured by this or harmed by this, to really dig down and look at this more carefully. And I just simply haven't, I just learned about it today. So I'd like to take out my my studying glasses and look at it more carefully with our team. And I'm sure SLCTA will want to do the same. So more to come.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Millar.
Nobody else has any questions? I'll move approval of the tentative agreement with SLCTA.
I'll second. We have a motion by Mr. Millar, a second by me. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries 7-0. Okay, so now we will move on to the action consent calendar. Please let me know if you would like anything pulled. I am prepared. Item 11.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 11.02, approval of warrants and payroll. 11.03, acceptance of donations. 11.04, disposal of textbook surplus. 11.05, award of bid number 1-1920, ready to serve pizza. Okay. Hearing nothing, I will look for a motion. Let's
move. I'll move approval of items 11.01 through 11.05.
Motion by Mr. Millar, second by Ms. Frame. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Moving on to advance agenda. Anyone else anything for the advance agenda? Reports by more board members. Mr. Unger, then Mr. Buckman.
So, I was able to go to the Morro Bay Band concert with Dr. Prater. It was a wonderful concert. Mr. Bellier did a tremendous job, again, as he always does. Very moving, powerful pieces. So thanks to everybody at Morro Bay High. I did stop by the Tiger Olympics at Sanders High School, again, meeting up with Dr. Prater. That was exciting to see the elementary school students on the field down there on Holt Field and participating in games, really having a good time. As with other people who I'm sure will, you know, talk about it, I went to the TIP colloquium. I visited Mrs. Capilano. Thank you, Emily. I visited her classroom last week. They took me to the school garden, talked about their what they're doing to save water, and so they have a rain catchment system there. And this is because there's an interest in global warming. As you all know, I have an interest in that. And Mrs. Capilano's class particularly was concerned about the effects of the drought on their garden. Is that not correct? And so that's why they came up with this grant proposal, which they put in as a TEACH grant, and they were funded by that. So that was great. And then finally, I was able to be a judge at the Battle of the Books at Del Mar, and I got to spend some time in Mrs. Slavin's class. So it was a great couple of weeks.
Mr. Buckman.
Thanks. Along with Chris, I was at the TIP colloquium for a short time. I apologize for having to leave early, but I needed to get back to work. I did get to go to the C.L. Smith Volunteer Appreciation. It was a large turnout. Always impressed with C.L. Smith. Was it last week? Last week I was invited to speak at a state LGBTQ conference. I was part of a panel on the LCAP. This was mostly people advising LGBT groups or specifically looking for LCAP funding and how to get involved in the process. So it was really great. I attended some of the workshops and there's some stuff there that we could just mainstream. It would be great for involving the kids. I also want to thank Luana because Luana pulled together some material for me so that I would go fully knowledgeable about what's going on in the district. So, busy time.
Thank you. Anyone else talk to us? Jeff Rogers.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the TIP colloquium and just being with the
enthusiasm of the teachers who were participating in that program. That was very important to their professional growth. And also, just spring open houses are just so much fun. It's like, you know, school's out almost. So I was able to go to Sinsheimer and C.L. Smith. And I just have to remember next time to bring my roller skates, because you have to, you know, there's so many people going back for these back-to-school nights and open houses that it's great when it's super crowded, and that's a good sign. So that was totally fun.
Well, thank you one and all, and we stand adjourned. Thank you.